Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
If Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, then you know deep in your heart that He left you here to make a difference. Today, there's someone whose life He wants you to impact as salt and light for His glory. Stay with us as we study difference makers next with Dr. Paul Chappell on Daily in the Word. Welcome to a new year. Happy New Year. We wish you all of God's greatest and richest blessings and grace upon your life in the new year. We hope you had a wonderful holiday season and that you're looking forward to making Jesus Christ preeminent in your life in the new year. We are beginning the year by studying difference makers. If you know Christ as your Savior, then you've been planted in you with the Holy Spirit a sacred desire to make a difference, to touch other lives. You've been called by God to be His grace expressed to others, to be salt and light. And we're going to study in this series difference makers, key characters in the Word of God that made a difference for the eternal purposes of God. I want to encourage you, before we join the message today, to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Be sure to sign up for the daily devotional from Dr. Chappell. Every day in your email box, you'll receive a word of encouragement along with an Old Testament and New Testament scripture reading that will take you through God's Word in its entirety in 1 year. Also, you'll find a link to Dr. Chappell's newest book, The Burden Bearer. If you have not yet read this book, you'll want everybody you know to read it, I promise you. It's a powerful allegory about a young character named Carrier who grows up in a land of lifters, but he meets the burden bearer and his life is never the same. Each chapter is filled with practical application that will change your life and your personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's The Burden Bearer, and you can find out more about it at dailyintheword.org. Well, now let's turn to Joshua chapter 4 as we study Joshua, the difference maker.
Joshua was one of the few men still living since the time that God had called his children out of the land of Egypt. Joshua and Caleb, as you might recall, had faith that God could bring them into the land, and yet the other spies did not believe it possible, and so they were left to wander in the wilderness. Yet, for whatever purpose, God determined that as the wandering would continue, Moses would not bring his children into the promised land, but another man would fulfill that purpose. You read that in chapter 1, if you'd like, Joshua chapter 1. The Bible says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the foot of your sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses." And in Joshua 1 and verse 6, the Bible says, "Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them." We see very clearly that God had designated a place for His people, a land for His people. This promise was not given in 1948 when Israel became the modern state that we see today. This promise was given in 1445 BC, given by God that it was to be their place and that Joshua was to lead them to their place. current policies of the United States and other countries call for the removal of the Jews from certain areas called their place today. And it's a difficult situation as men and women and diplomats for years have tried to somehow negotiate between the Palestinians and the Jews in Israel. And some would even have the Jews to give up portions of the Temple Mount where they serve and where they pray at the Western Wall, even at this very moment. I believe as Christians, we would be wise to recognize the teachings of the Bible when God spoke of the children of Israel. And he said, I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. And God challenges the nations to remember Israel. But in these last days, we see much to be said in the public comment, in the newspapers about the land. Yet there was no question in Joshua's day, God had given them the land, and they were to advance across the Jordan, and they were to possess it by faith at once. And three times in Joshua chapter 1, we read God speaking to Joshua and telling his men, be of good courage, Joshua. I have a job for you, Joshua. I want you to be of good courage in doing the work that I've called you to do. Well, rarely do we find such a courageous man in the Bible. And this man was used of God to make a difference. And I believe America needs men and women today to make a difference. None of us would doubt that the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence made a lasting difference that is affecting our lives today. None of us would doubt for a moment that when General George Washington put his knee in the snow at Valley Forge and prayed for help from God, that his impact is not felt even to this day. Men and women have served our country and serve our country yet this morning, and they're making a difference, whether in the military, whether through preaching the gospel, whether through living for their families day by day. God calls on all of us to make a difference in our generation. And I want you to learn with me today from a man that all of us can be challenged from, a man by the name of Joshua. Notice with me this morning three ways that Joshua made a difference. First of all, I want you to see that his faith made a difference. His faith in God made the difference. In chapter 3, I want you to notice in Joshua chapter 3, the faith of this man. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Notice verse 5, and Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Would you read that with me, verse 5, ready to begin? And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. He was not questioning whether God would do wonders, but by faith he said, tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. He said to the people, some estimate around 2 million people, he said, sanctify yourselves, that is, separate yourselves unto the Lord, prepare yourselves for the miracle that God is about ready to do. I wonder how many people sit in this room today and God would like to do something significant in your life. God would like to use you greatly, but you are not getting ready for that. You are not sanctifying yourself, setting yourself apart from the sin and cares of this world, setting yourself apart and unto the Lord and the Lord alone. And Joshua was a man who had great faith to make a difference in his day. Now let's get the picture in our mind, maybe by way of a map, and try to understand exactly what's happening. Joshua and the children of Israel have come from the south, and they've come from Egypt, and they've been wandering in the wilderness. And now they've come to this place at the River Jordan, just above the Dead Sea, and about 60 miles south of the Sea of Galilee. And God is commanding Joshua that they are now to cross westwardly into an area that they will establish as Gilgal, and then their first battle would be in the city of Jericho. And it would require great faith for many reasons. First of all, crossing the Jordan River would require faith. And secondly, this place called Jericho was a city that many deemed impregnable, impossible to battle, such a fortified city. And yet God said, Joshua, I want you to do everything according to my word. I want you to cross the Jordan. Now, exactly how were they to cross the Jordan? Well, notice the instructions that were given in chapter 3. The Bible says that the Ark of the Covenant was to be carried by the priests into the river Jordan. Now let's just talk about that for a moment and think about it just for a moment. The Ark of the Covenant, that a holy piece of furniture which had inhabited the tabernacle from the time of Moses, that Ark of the Covenant, which was the place where Aaron the high priest would sprinkle the blood of a goat or a lamb on the mercy seat. And when Aaron would go in, he would pray for the sins of the children of Israel. It was called the Day of Atonement. So the Ark of the Covenant was the holy piece of furniture central to Jewish worship. The Ark of the Covenant is a picture or a type of Jesus Christ, because the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, and that Jesus Christ shed his blood for our sin. In fact, he is called our propitiation. It is the same word which means mercy seat. Jesus is our mercy seat. If you're with me so far, say amen.
Amen.
So let's draw a parallel. The children of Israel were told, when the priests carry the Ark of the Covenant out into this water, I want you to follow that ark. I want you to follow those priests as they go into the water. I'm going to part the water, and I want you to keep your eyes on them and follow that ark right across the river. Now then, God says to us, I want you to keep your eyes on my son, Jesus Christ. I want you to trust him. I want you to follow him every step. Matthew 16, 24 is in your notes. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. And what do the next two words say? Follow me. Say it with me. Follow me. So God says, I want you to follow me. Now the children of Israel followed the Ark of the Covenant. And then notice, secondly, not only were the priests to carry the Ark of the Covenant, but the people must have faith to follow the Ark of the Covenant. They were to follow as this Ark made its way across the Jordan River. Now, the Jordan River is a river that comes from the Sea of Galilee down about 60 miles to the Dead Sea. And there is a drop of about 9 feet every mile along the way. It's a fairly fast-moving river. And at the season of harvest, which we read about in the scripture this morning, its banks would overflow and there would be a fairly good amount of water to be spread by God Almighty. In Joshua chapter 3 and verse 14, the Bible says, and it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as they that bear the Ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the Ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for the Jordan overfloweth all his banks at all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above, notice this, stood and rose up upon an heap very far from the city of Adam, that is beside Zaratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho, and the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. What a tremendous miracle of God that this water would heap up and stand aside, that the ground dried, and that 2 million people crossed, watch this, as they followed the Ark of the Covenant, a picture for us today of Jesus Christ. I remind you, my friend, it took faith for the people to cross the Jordan. It took faith for Joshua to say, all right, Lord, if you want these priests to walk out into that water, all right, Lord, we're going to do what you said, we're going to do it the way you said, and we're going to follow your instructions by faith. It took faith to cross the Jordan. Secondly, then, it took faith to construct a memorial. God said, just as soon as you get across, I want you to construct a memorial there at Gilgal. Now, notice if you would, in chapter 4, and beginning in verse 8. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. Now the memorial was made so that they might remember this special day in their life. The Bible says in Psalm 111 and verse 4, He hath made His wonderful works to be remembered. He hath made His wonderful works to be remembered. One of our greatest sins is the sin of forgetfulness, unthankfulness. Sometimes we forget the great things God has done. I thank God that our Christian forefathers have established holidays to remind us. We have a holiday in this country called Thanksgiving. That holiday has Christian origins. It is a reminder to give thanks to God for His blessings upon this country. Last Sunday night in this building, we observed in a service something called the Lord's Table. And we took bread and juice and we partook of those elements because Jesus said, "This do in remembrance of me." And God is here telling the children of Israel. Now, when you cross that river, get 12 large stones and erect a monument, because these people need to remember what I just did. They've been complaining in the wilderness. They forgot the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day. And they complained about the manna from heaven. So let's help them to remember so that they don't forget what I have done on their behalf. God wanted them to let their children know someday the great things that He had done. And it says in the Bible, so that when the children ask you, "What are those stones all about?" you're going to tell them, "We serve a great God, son. Amen. We serve a great God, daughter. And let me tell you a story about the day before you were born, when the Ark of the Covenant went out in the water, according to the Word of God. And Joshua told us to follow that Ark. And the waters split wide open. And those stones remind us of the miracle of God." You know, around this property, we have some buildings that have plaques on them telling us about when they were built. And in some cases, maybe some pews that were purchased or folks that have helped along the way. And these are reminders to us that God in this place has helped us to raise up a church family, and folks have been saved and baptized and added to the church, and marriages have been rescued and buildings have been built, all to the glory of God. And we don't want to ever forget the great things God has done. Well, this is why the stones were erected, so that the children would know. Now, the place where the stones were erected was called Gilgal. Let's say that together. Gilgal. It means a wheel rolling. I like that. A wheel rolling. And it was from this place that the wheel of Joshua was going to roll all over the nations of Canaan. God was going to bring them into that land, and God was going to give them victory from this place called Gilgal. It is referred to 13 times in the book of Joshua. The southern and the northern military campaigns of Joshua would take place from Gilgal. Gilgal, if you would, is the base camp of the children of Israel. It was there that they would get together and remember the great things God had done. They would go fight a battle and come back to Gilgal. And if they were discouraged, they could look at those 12 stones and they could say, "Remember what God did?" And they could high five and they could have some refreshment. Gilgal would always be a special place for the children of Israel, a place to rest in the Lord, as Psalm 37 mentions, a place to trust in the Lord for all that He had done. And may I say that every Christian needs a Gilgal in their life. The Lord is our Gilgal. The local church is our Gilgal. We need a place where we can come out from the cares of the world and where we can have a place to remember how good God is. And that's why the Bible says in Hebrews 10 and verse 25, "And let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is." And so much the more as you see the day approaching, God says, "Don't skip my house, but get together and assemble with Christians so that you can rehearse the good things I've done." So that while the news channel discourages you and the television tears you down, you can come to Gilgal and get built back up again and go to work tomorrow and serve me and live for me. Oh, you see, this was a special place. Later we read in chapter 5, they observed something called the Passover here. It was their first observance of the Passover meal, celebrating and remembering how God delivered them from Egypt. It was a wonderful place for the children of Israel, and it was all possible because when God said, "Joshua, you get that ark out in the middle of the river and do what I told you to do," Joshua, by faith, obeyed God. I wonder how many great things God wants to do with people who would just have the faith to obey Him. Notice secondly, though, Joshua was not only a great man of faith, but Joshua made a difference because he was a great man of obedience. A great man of obedience. Turn to chapter 6, please, and verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus thou shalt do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. The 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before them. Now, when the children of Israel crossed at Gilgal, within their view would have been one of the modern marvels of the world, the city of Jericho. Jericho is a very interesting place. When we visited Jericho, as we were getting close, they said, we're going to be coming into Jericho. It's a part of the Palestinian West Bank area. We began to see pictures of Yasser Arafat and the Palestinian flag. But it was just, we saw tanks, we saw cars bombed on the side of the road. We knew we were entering into a different type of an area. It was primarily very desert, very hot. And suddenly we came upon a lush place of habitation, and it was the city of Jericho. And as we came to the ruins of the ancient city of Jericho, we were immediately reminded, first of all, of the power of the city. The power of the city. These slides do not really give justice, but one of the things that gave power to the city was the water supply. And in these deep wells, there was water that would sustain people within the walls months at a time. The water supply was of significance to their power. The huge walls were significant, and of course, the walls were destroyed by the hand of God, but the excavations had shown the foundations of these walls to be massive. And Jericho was a city that the average person looking would say, how in the world could we ever destroy this key city? This was the city that guarded routes to Jerusalem. This was the city that was known as the eastern defense for this area of the world. The power of the city. But notice the promise of God. God gives a promise to Joshua in chapter 6 and verse 2. The Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho. That word see means to perceive. It's not just look at it. It's sense this, know this. I want you to get this in your heart. I have given you Jericho. Now, a lot of people come to church and they see, but they never sense. They see what God did or could do, but they never believe in their heart that God could do that for them. And God said, Joshua, don't just look at the walls of that city. I want you to sense in your heart that I'm about to take those walls down. And Joshua got it. He didn't just go to church that day, but he believed that God could do something great in his life. And that leads us, thirdly, to the progression of Joshua. Joshua began to follow God's lead.
Well, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell on today's edition of Daily in the Word. We've been studying the difference makers, looking at God's Word and studying key characters and how they made a difference. And we're seeing anew and afresh that God calls you and me to make a difference today in someone's life for the gospel and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'd like to hear more about today's series or today's message, visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. When you visit Daily in the Word online, I want to encourage you to take advantage of the resources that are there to help you in your spiritual growth. The first would be the podcast. You can download this program and take it with you on your device or your computer to listen to at your convenience. Also, you can refer a friend to the Daily in the Word podcast and let them be encouraged by the same preaching you receive each and every day via this broadcast. I want to encourage you to take a look at Dr. Chappell's newest book, The Burden Bearer. It's an allegory that each chapter is filled with not only a storyline, but then practical applications that will help you understand how to cast your burdens really and truthfully upon the Lord Jesus Christ and live the life that he intends you to live as his child. Again, this book is called The Burden Bearer. It's a wonderful read. Once you read it, I promise you, you're going to want everybody you know to read this book. Again, you can find out more about it at dailyintheword.org. Also, we're very excited to announce another Alaska cruise this coming August 3rd through the 10th, 2013. You're invited to join Dr. Chapel and friends from all across the country for great preaching and teaching, wonderful Christian fellowship, and the cruising of Alaska's Inside Passage, making a lifetime memory seeing some of God's most beautiful and majestic creation. That's August 3rd through the 10th, and you can find out more information about it at dailyintheword.org. Finally, on the website, you'll find a subscription link to a daily email. If you would sign up for this, you would receive a daily email from Dr. Chapel with a devotional, a word of encouragement from God's Word, and then an Old Testament and New Testament scripture reading along with a chapter of Proverbs every day. And as you get this email, if you follow it throughout the year, you'll read God's Word through in 1 year. It's a great resource, and it's free at dailyintheword.org. Well, thanks for listening today. If we can serve you or be an encouragement to you, please give us a call toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. Until next time, thanks for joining us for today's edition of Daily in the Word. Have a great day.